Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We are so glad that you have joined us today. And if you're listening by computer, we welcome you. And if you've downloaded this broadcast from our website, we welcome you today. Thank you for coming and downloading. We pray that what you find there will be a blessing to you, that you'll tell others about it. We earnestly want to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone who will give us the opportunity to share it with them. That is our great commission from our Lord Himself, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we are on the air right here on WMAF, and it's such a privilege to be part of this broadcast family here at WMAF, and it's a privilege to have you as part of our listening family today. Well, if you'd like to come to our website, just type in THCOG, that stands for The Holy Church of God. We are an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International out of San Diego, California, since 1974. Praise the Lord. Working on our 37th year, headed for our 38th year in January, where I have been the senior pastor. And sermons that span those years can be found there on our website. And you're welcome to come. There is podcast so you can download onto any MP3 device, and just share the gospel wherever you would like to share it, if you so choose. Now, having said that, we're getting ready to go to our Bible study today. This is the second in the series of Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus, our Redeemer. We pray today, as we go to the Word of God, that you will be especially alert and aware of God's love surrounding you. Because if the Bible is anything, it is a love story. God's great love for fallen man, and the extent that He would go to redeem us and ransom us from our sins. Praise God. We're going to take our text today for this study from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, because it captures what the redemptive work of Jesus is really all about. Listen to it very carefully. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Listen very carefully today. Amen. This is all about ransom being paid to set someone who is held captive and enslaved free, so that that person cannot just be forgiven, but that that person can be set free. If you got last week's study, we studied three Hebrew words from the Old Testament that describe redemption, or are interpreted as redeemer, or redeemed, or redemption in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. And those words had to do with a ransom being paid, but it also had to do with a severing, a cutting, the bonds, a setting free of the slave. See, Jesus does more than just forgive us and leave us enslaved to sin and influenced by Satan and held captive. Jesus came, the Bible said, to set the captive free. And who the Son sets free, the New Testament declares, is free indeed. He's genuinely, really delivered and set free. So in God's redemptive plan, there was more than forgiveness. There was the setting free from the prison house and the enslavement of sin and the domination of Satan. I want you to know today, if you think the chains that hold you in bondage are so strong you could never follow Christ, you could never be a Christian, you're dead wrong about that. Amen. Jesus came to set the captive free, and He did it by that great redemptive act on the cross of becoming sin for us, that we might be set free. So we have here in this verse of Scripture the means of our redemption. amen, was through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I want to talk to you today about that aspect of Jesus' redemptive work as a Lamb of God. There is no mightier or sweeter revelation of Jesus as our Redeemer than the sacrificed Lamb. The Lamb was the principal animal of sacrifice in the Old Covenant. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 38 through 42, we read, "Now is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour, mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at evening. And thou shalt do thereunto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, while I will meet with you and speak with you there." Of all the sacrifices offered in the Old Testament, the lamb was the principal sacrifice. The innocence and gentleness of the sacrificial lamb is featured in descriptions in the Old Testament. As a symbol, the sacrificial lamb prefigured the character and suffering of Jesus Christ, our sacrificed lamb, the one that John the Baptist called the Lamb of God. When John the Baptist encounters Jesus in the New Testament, he declares him to be not just a great prophet, a great preacher, a great healer, a great scribe, a great rabbi, but he describes him specifically as the Lamb of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29, and again in verse 36, it said, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and said, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Behold, the Lamb of God. To describe the Messiah in this way was virtually unheard of. Messiah was spoken of in many ways in the Old Testament scriptures, and by the prophets of old, they spoke of him as a prophet, they spoke of him as a priest, they spoke of him as a servant, but no one spoke of him as a lamb. No one had referred to him this way before. It was obvious that John was given an unusual insight and revelation into the Messiah's work and death, and into what he was going to accomplish through that death while in this world. It was an insight that ought to bring us into what the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. It is an insight which brings the cross into the foreground, and not only in our minds, but in our very lives. What did John the Baptist see as he gazed upon the lonely figure of Jesus coming back from the wilderness? Well, John would have been familiar with not merely the Old Testament scriptures, but certain themes which were essential to that religion, part of which would be the role played by three very important lambs that were central to Judaism. I want to talk about the first lamb because it represented love and substitution. The first one is the lamb that God provided Abraham at Mount Moriah. The theme here is love and substitution. This is the story recorded in Genesis 22 when Abraham was instructed to offer his son Isaac upon Mount Moriah. Now listen, I want to make it very clear here. God has never, will never abide or encourage or demand in any sense a human sacrifice. He doesn't do that. This was not what he was asking of Abraham, and as this story develops, you will see that. He was simply wanted Abraham's son's place in his heart. God wanted to know how far Abraham would go to show his devotion to his God. And when he found out his willingness to offer that he loved more than life itself, his own son, he said, "Abraham, I don't need that. I will provide the sacrifice." It wasn't merely his son, if you're familiar with this story, but his beloved son. Mark that word. It's so full of meaning. In the economy of God's dealings with mankind, Abraham willingly was ready to sacrifice his only begotten son, his beloved son. Though he didn't actually do it, he did it in his heart. He did it in the conviction that God was able to resurrect Isaac from the dead, that God had power over the very power of death. Praise the Lord. Amen. What I want to attract your attention to is the answer Abraham gave to the solemn question put to him by his son when he took him up to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord. You men who are fathers and you ladies who are mothers, you can imagine something of the natural dilemma in Abraham's heart. We can be wholly confident in our God and yet go through these dilemmas at a natural level. One doesn't cancel out the other. Isaac asked his father when he saw the altar and the knife and the wood and he saw everything ready for death. He looked at his father and said, "Where is the lamb?" In Genesis 22 and verse 7. My friends, that's a solemn question, isn't it? That's the question every sinner should be asking. Where is the lamb? You remember the answer he gave in Genesis 22 and verse 8? God will provide himself a lamb. What a beautiful answer. What an answer to give the world in its misery, searching, searching, searching for an answer in the despair of sin. One answer we have to give America and Afghanistan. God hath provided himself a lamb. From Africa to the Arctic, we declare, God will give every sinner a lamb, a sacrifice lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the substitute given in love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Here is the Lamb, God on the horns of the altar at Calvary, Golgotha. The Lamb of God died in the room instead of sinners. Substitution in love, a sacrifice full of power, hope and love. Behold, the Lamb of God. That is the first Lamb, the Lamb of Moriah. The Lamb that represents love and substitution. We used to sing the great chorus, "Sing Alleluia, for God hath provided a Lamb." We also sing the old camp meeting hymn, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that brought it down to man at Calvary." Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the sacrifice lamb. The second lamb represented security and deliverance. The second lamb is the lamb Moses used in the Passover in Egypt. The theme here would be security and deliverance. The story, as you know it, is recorded in Exodus chapter 12. When God chose to free the children of Israel, a chosen lamb. And notice that the first one was a beloved lamb. This is the chosen lamb. Not any lamb would have done. A chosen lamb had to be sacrificed. The blood had to be sprinkled in a peculiar way on the homes of the Israelite people. These important factors were essential if the children of Israel were to be delivered. On the one hand, from the bondage of slavery, and on the other, from the angel of God's judgment, the angel of death. Here the Baptist again, knowing the spiritual application of those factors and knowing that it remained one of the utmost important factors, that the Lamb must be a very special Lamb without spot and without blemish. Not any lamb would do. Not every lamb would do. There must be a proper application of the blood. It must be sprinkled precisely as God instructs in His own Word. Without this, my friends, there could be no liberty from the power of sin in the human heart, no deliverance from the final judgment and wrath to come. Not only couldn't they get out from under Pharaoh's servitude and slavery, they couldn't escape God's judgment. With the Passover lamb to the foreground of his mind, John the Baptist cried, "Behold, the Lamb of God." If there was ever a suitable lamb, a lamb without spot or blemish, holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, according to Hebrews 7, verse 26. There he is. Behold, the Lamb of God. A proper application of His blood still secures deliverance, still makes men and women, boys and girls, secure in the promises of the gospel. As we think about the death of Jesus in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, I wonder if this is how your own mind will be working. So many people take the Lord's Supper, it's just a routine that we go through, a prerequisite to the rest of the service. It's hurried through without stopping to consider the wonder of this sacrifice for our sin. In our feebleness and weakness, with all our faults and failings, we find our security and deliverance in the Lamb of God. This is our hope. This is the bedrock of our faith. We still sing, "I put my hope in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, because all other ground is sinking sand." There's power in that blood. When the angel of death went through Egypt that night, what authority he had, what power was his. He raged through Egypt, wreaking havoc and death, till he came to a house with blood over its lintels and side post. That angel, with all its power and authority, could go no further, stopped by the power of the blood of the sacrifice lamb. God's judgment will stop at the doorpost of the heart that has been sprinkled with the blood of this sacrifice lamb. The third lamb represented mercy and forgiveness. The third lamb is the lamb used by Aaron in the sin offering, as is recorded in Leviticus chapter 4. The theme here is mercy and forgiveness. This was the most important sin offering made in Israel. It was conducted on the Day of Atonement. The lambs or goats were taken to the temple, and the high priest confessed the sin of Israel over the scapegoat. The other goat was sacrificed, but the scapegoat was led out to the wilderness. There the prominent role was given to the high priest. He's the man in focus, whereas as the sin offering in Leviticus chapter 4, the focus is on the individual, the poor sinner who comes with his lamb to the temple. He, not the high priest, must put his hands over the lamb, confessing his sin. He must sacrifice the lamb. The stress here is on the importance of dealing personally and individually with our sin before God. No priest or preacher or prophet can confess my sins for me. No priest can do what I must do before God. Gospel salvation is far too personal for that. Forgiveness and atonement was sought by the children of Israel coming with that lamb to the temple. Here is John the Baptist realizing that very point, just how personal salvation is and how important it is that we as individuals must seek this atonement and forgiveness, that we must confess our sins before a holy God. Realizing all of this, the Baptist cries out, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And it brings us to the very heart of what the gospel is all about. In order to redeem us, there's a lamb provided by God, a sacrifice made necessary by sin and shed blood as the reconciling agent between God and sinners. If we are to enjoy all that God has to offer, if we are to enjoy the gospel, and if the cross is to be meaningful in our lives, our sin must be taken away. God knows of only one way, the Lamb, John says, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the glory of the gospel. This is the story of the gospel. This is the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. All unbelief is taken away. Men and women, boys and girls are made free to believe in God, to feel the love of God, free to live their lives in obedience to Him, free to die in peace, knowing that they will immediately pass into glory. Meanwhile, as we are left on mercy's ground, we must take advantage of all the privileges that God has set aside for us. Jesus has laid down His life as a sacrifice lamb, friend. And He did it for you. And He did it for me. And He did it because He absolutely wanted to show us just how much God loved us and to what extent He would go to save us. The precious blood belongs to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me read from Hebrews chapter 9 in closing this part of our study today. Chapter 11 through verse 14 and verse 22. It said, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth unto the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And verse 22, "And said, almost all things by the law are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." There is no remission. Jesus, friend, is the perfect Lamb of God, sacrificed for your sins and sacrificed for my sins. There is a beautiful story told of a man in Scotland, actually, who was afflicted with cancer of the throat and tongue. He was a professional singer and tenor. What a beautiful voice he had. And now that voice, after this surgery, was going to be silenced forever. He would never be able to speak or sing again. So much of his tongue and throat were to be removed. He lay on the operating table, knowing that when the surgery was finished, he'd never speak again, much less sing. The doctor preparing to operate said, "Do you have any desires we can meet before the anesthesia is administered?" The young man said, "Yes, yes, I do." He sat up on the operating table, and he began to sing. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." He sang verse after verse until there wasn't a dry eye in the room. Then he came to the final verse, which he sang even more triumphantly. And it said, "Then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save, when this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave." Oh, today, how we thank God for His precious Son, and how we thank Jesus for His precious blood that has been given so freely, so lovingly, so kindly, so mercifully at the cross. We worship Him today from the bottom of our hearts as Christians. We commit our lives, our all, to Him who took our place on the cross. And today, this God who loved enough to give His Son, I am absolutely convinced that if you do not know Him, and you have listened to this point in this broadcast, He is reaching out to you in love today. God has provided for you personally a Lamb. God has given His only begotten Son to take your place and mine at the cross. And God is asking you today something He asked me many years ago, to confess my sins, to repent of them in my heart, and to receive Jesus Christ as my sacrifice Lamb, my Lord, and my Savior. And I'm asking today, in these closing moments, would you open your heart to Him? Right now, right where you are, would you say with me, Jesus Christ, I confess my sins. I believe that you died on that cross for me. I didn't understand all that represented till now. I believe you died to forgive me and to set me free. And I come to you today to be forgiven. And I come to you today to be set free. And right now, I receive you into my heart. I receive you into my life as my Lord and my personal Savior. If you've prayed that prayer right now, God, with great joy of heart, is forgiving and delivering you. And today, you passed from death to life. Today, your past is gone, and your future, your eternal future, has begun. And heaven is now your home. And you become its citizen, even before you draw your last breath here. Hallelujah. And today, if you're a Christian, and the first love has begun to become just smoldering embers, it's not a flame anymore in your heart. Today, think about Jesus as your sacrifice Lamb. All of your security, all of the love, is wrapped up in that single title, Lamb of God. Lamb of God. And today, would you just bow your heart anew and afresh and make a commitment to say, Jesus, I'm going to serve you from a heart of fervent love. Let the flame be rekindled in your heart today. Let revival fires flame up and serve Him with a fervent love. Hallelujah. Go to church Sunday. Exalt His name in praise. Hallelujah. Receive His word with honor and deep reverence. Hug your preacher. Tell him thank you for declaring the gospel unto me. Hug the Lord in praise. And tell him thank you for dying just for me. Well, we love you today. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.